I want to welcome our visitors this morning. We have many people for the St. John's people, many people that we don't see in our church normally, and that is because this weekend was the 8th annual Boyle Lenten Retreat that's hosted by our parish. We've got about 75 Boyans and advisors from around the area that have visited us the last couple of days, and I welcome them into our church, and thank them for sharing a beautiful weekend. For those who wonder what goes on in these retreats, we began on Friday with the salutation service. We did some fun icebreakers, get to know you type things Friday night. Yesterday I was so blessed that there were four other priests that joined us to do sessions with the young people and teach them. And then in the afternoon into the night yesterday, we heard confessions in the church. And I do this every year. We start usually around 4 in the afternoon. The sun is shining. It's shining on the building over there. And I sit over here in the corner and watch sort of the day go in the night, watch the evening shadows and the sunset through the door. And last night, the light got rushed because around 5:30, we lost power in the church. And we ended up sitting in here by candlelight, candles in various places in the church, having wonderful conversations and prayers with the people who came to this retreat. And I told our young people when we began the retreat on Friday night that the concept of a retreat is that the definition of a retreat and the part of the retreat we're most familiar with is in a military term. When one military force is losing to another and they retreat, they back up, they go away. And the concept of retreat in our current context is that you're fighting a battle against the outside world, and I'm not going to say we're losing it, we're fighting it, and every so often it's good to retreat from that battle and to take off our cell phones, take off our headphones, and to sit in silence and to learn more about our faith, to pray with one another, to strengthen one another, to have fellowship with one another. So now this afternoon, as our retreat participants go back out into the battle, they are rested and they are better equipped, they're better educated to go and fight that battle that's raging right outside the door of our church. Now, one of the fun things that happens at these retreats is that we do a lot of icebreakers. Some of them are team building, some of them are just kind of goofy. They give us an opportunity to play, and playing is something that you should not need when you're a child. It's a healthy for an adult to play. It's healthy for an adult to act goofy. And as I was thinking about this morning's gospel lesson, I was thinking about like the ultimate in team building icebreakers. So I know I saw it earlier, but it's Manoli. Lucha just in here. We're in stand up here, Manoli. How big are you? How much you weigh? Okay, 5'11", 215. Now, we all know the gospel lesson this morning, right? It's about a paralytic. Now, I was thinking as I was trying to fall asleep at the hotel last day, I said, what if we took Manoli, a mattress, a rope, and four people? We said, Manoli, lay out on that mattress, and we'll give these four people a rope, and we're going to tell them, poison Manoli and all of his dead weight, up the wall of the church, over the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and lower Manoli down to the floor. Allah, the paralytic, the gospel today. That would take a lot of work. Anyway, thank you, Willa. Brilliant time. A friend from Clearwater, a wonderful young man, and will soon be a leader in our church. He's already one among his peers, and I pray, knowing that you end up being a leader among the adults in the years to come. But think about that. Think about how hard that would be. I was actually discussing this with some of the adult advisors last night. They said, you would have a hard time just moving the building out of the door. It's so big. And you wonder, again in this scene, a paralyzed man brought by four friends to a house where Jesus was preaching and teaching. The house was so full, there was no room for them to get into the door. You wonder how this occurrence came about. Why didn't they clear a space at the door for the man to come in? Did they not notice him? Were they too busy? And why only four friends? left to try and hoist the man up the wall, over, and lower him in. Did he only have four friends? Were the other people that were watching this whole scene, nobody felt compelled to jump in and help? Again, if you think this out, if I send the four of you, pick up the holy and put it over the church, you would have to think that out very, very, very carefully. That would not be an easy task. It would take a long time. And there would be ample opportunity for the people around to kind of watch what was going on, and then you have a choice. You're going to watch the group for them to fail, you're going to watch the group for them to succeed. Are you going to say, hey, I'm able-bodied and strong, I will jump in and help? Now, the lesson of the paralytic being brought to Jesus is a good metaphor for the church. In some of the writings of the fathers, we hear the church described as a hospital, a place for the sick. Now, I want you to remember, there was one paralytic and four friends. That was a ratio of 4-1. One sick man, four able-bodied men helping the sick man. We'll come back to that in a second. But there are lots of people in our community, perhaps one out of five, that is suffering today from some kind of either a physical illness, an emotional illness, or a spiritual illness. Now, I hear lots of their stories, which I can't repeat, but if I did, it's probably one out of five of the people in this church. When we say physical disease, we're talking about things like cancer. We're talking about things like leukemia. We're talking about things like heart disease. Serious medical things. There are serious emotional illnesses in our community, in our church, and in our community, our neighborhoods, our schools. Those are serious and they are real. There are people in our community, again, in this building and outside this building, in your neighborhoods, your schools, your places of business. There are people who are sad. There are people who are depressed. There are people who are thinking about giving up. There are people who are a little down on their luck. There are people who don't understand how did this terrible thing that's happened to you befall me. And then there are people who have spiritual illnesses. And what are spiritual illnesses? There's the illness of ignorance. I don't know what the heck we're doing here. I've been here my whole life, but I've never had an experience of the living God. Okay, there's something amiss about that. There are people who live in some kind of habitual sin. They do things that take them far, far away from God. And they need to be brought back. They need help. Now, in the story, in the parable, Jesus is the healer. But Jesus could not have healed the man if he hadn't had some help from his friends to get to Jesus. So in the story, the friends are very, very important. And in the church, we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the celebrant of the services via my unworthy person, of course. We know that the Lord is the one who blesses and keeps us, but we have a big role in that equation. We are like the friends in the story of the paralytic. And a few of us, maybe one out of five of us, is like the paralytic in the story of the paralytic. So everybody in this church fits into two categories. Either you're like the paralytic and you need some help, or you are like one of the friends who is in a position to offer some help. There are no other roles here. Either you need healing or you can help bring healing to the person who needs healing. In the church, there is no role of bystander, as there probably was on that day that Jesus healed the paralytic. We don't need any bystanders. We need people who want healing to come for healing, and we need people who are free and healthy to help those who need the healing. The theme of our retreat this weekend was keeping Christ at the center of your life. And incidentally, I don't think the retreat is just for boys. In 2 weeks, on March 24th, we have a retreat for the adults of this parish. And anybody else from outside the parish would like to come, or your neighbors, your friends. And the theme of our retreat for adults is going to be, where do we come from and how we're different? Where does Orthodoxy come from and how is it different from the other Christian denominations in the world? And keeping Christ, going back to our theme of the weekend, keeping Christ at the center of your life means staying in the game all the time. You don't come out and sit on the sidelines for a while. You stay checked into the the game all the time. And what does that mean, all the time? It means when you're in school, it means when you're doing your homework, it means when you're interacting with your parents, your siblings, when you're interacting with your coaches on your sports teams, when you go to your part-time jobs, your full-time jobs, when you're driving your car around town. It means being checked into the game all the time. It means putting aside road rage, disrespect with your parents, cheating on tests in school, and other inappropriate things that happen on weekends among high school students. It means being checked in all the time. Now, for those who are in our parish, you hopefully all received an email from me earlier in the week about an awful television show that debuted last Sunday on ABC. I presume that that show will air again tonight, and I hope that you will all boycott it, because it makes fun of us, the Christians. And so, how can we take a stand against people who are making fun of us? We can boycott them and say, we are not going to stand for this. We are about to be Christians, and we're not going to have anybody ridicule our Christianity. So I will not be watching ABC tonight, and I encourage you not to watch ABC tonight. And maybe if enough of us boycott ABC and their sponsors, and maybe write a letter to the ABC people asking that they take this despicable show off of television. For those who have no idea what I'm talking about, it's called Good Christian, and then a word that rhymes with witches and starts with beads. Okay? And they put that on television, and they ridicule and make fun of the people who are trying to find God and find our way to salvation. And they're making money and they're corrupting people on that. And that's just plain wrong and unacceptable. If you put other religious groups or socioeconomic groups in front of the word witches, rhymes with bead, you would have the political correctness of these all over the place. But if you put Christian there, somehow that's okay. So for me, as a priest, as someone who's given my life to sharing the gospel and enjoying the gospel brings, I am insulted that someone would do this, and so I have to take a stand. I'm not going to sit on the sideline and say, that's okay. As I told you in the letter about the story of the frog and some water, I'm not going to wait for the water to boil and kill us all. I'm going to jump out and say, I don't like the temperature of the water in our media. So we have to take a stand for Christ, whether it means turning your television off, whether it means to speak in school, whether you meet a bully who's picking on a kid that can't defend himself, telling that bully, what are you doing? That's ridiculous. You get joy and make fun of other people. We need to stand up these kind of things. And we need to step up for Christ and say, not only is it about loving God, but it's about loving your neighbor as yourself. I had a conversation very, very late last night and early into this morning with some of the advisors of our various parishes, and I really enjoyed that. And somebody asked me a question, why is it that we are so different from our Protestant brethren in so many ways? We see in our churches that we're not as enthusiastic. We don't know as much about the Bible as other Christian denominations do. Why is that? I said, well, the people in those denominations, they're raised in a certain way. They're raised to pray. They're raised to read the Bible. They're raised to come on time. They're raised to tithe. And we're not raising our children that way. Perhaps we were not raised that way. And now we're perpetuating that among our children. Our children, we're not raising them to pray, read the Bible, come on time, tithe, to ask for charity. We are raising our children, by and large, in this church, to just kind of go through the motions, to come late, to sit on the sidelines, and to not take a stand. We're standing behind the 2,000 years of Orthodoxy, our great history. But what kind of a great history is that if the current situation is not so great, we can't articulate our faith, we can't take a stand for our faith. We can't take our stand on 2,000 years we didn't live through. We've got to take our stand on the time that we are living through right here and right now in 2012. This morning we commemorate the feast day of St. Gregory Palamas, an Archbishop of Thessalonica many centuries ago. And St. Gregory is famous because he wrote about God, and he wrote about how we come to know God. And he says there are two ways to know God. To know God in his essence, know God in his energies. Now, no one knows the essence of God right now because no one has ever cast his eye on God. When we come into God's kingdom, hopefully we will all get there, then we will know God in essence. But now, we know God through his energies. way God works among us. So what are some of God's energies? The sun is shining outside. That's the energy of God. That came from God, not from us. The wind is blowing ever so gently in here. That came from God, not from us. But a very, very important energy of God is us. We are the crowning jewel in God's creation. So if you want to come to know God, get to know the people around you. Find goodness in the people around you, and you will find God. Serve the people around you, and you will come to know God. God is known in energies, and the greatest energy of God is us, because we're created in the image and likeness of God. And what kind of God do we represent? And a different God? A God who is the seat of the wheel? Or a God who is dynamic and present, and loving, and forgiving, and charitable? All these attributes that we ascribe to God, we need to grow them in ourselves, so that we're kind, loving, benevolent, forgiving, patient, and all the things that we say God is, those are the things that we need to be to each other, and that will strengthen our relationship with God and our understanding of God. Now, where do I start with all this? I'm gonna close with a little story. Where do you start in making a difference in the world? A young man took a walk on the seashore one morning, and the tide was going out. And when the tide had come in, it swept in tens of thousands of starfish that were sitting on the sand on the beach. And you know that if a starfish is out of water for an amount of time, the starfish is going to die. So the young man was walking along the beach, and there were tens of thousands of starfish as far as the eye could see. And he reached down, and he picked up a starfish, and he threw it in the water. And he reached down, and he picked up another starfish, and he threw it in the water. And along his walk, he met a grumpy old man. The grumpy old man said, "Son, what are you doing?" The young man said, "I'm taking these starfish and I'm throwing them in the water, trying to save them." He said, "Son, there are more starfish than the eye can see, more starfish than we can even count. What kind of a difference can you possibly make for these starfish?" And he picked another starfish and threw it in the water. He said, he looked at the old man and he said, "I made a difference with that one." Kept going on his way. There are tens of thousands of paralytics out there in Tampa. Some are in the pews of our church. Some are in your neighborhoods. Some are in your schools. Some are in your place of business. It's time to make a difference from one at a time. Don't see the glass half empty. See it as half full of potential. And make it a goal this week to make a difference for one person. If you remember nothing from the maybe monologue this morning, go make a difference this week for somebody. Pay somebody a compliment. Lend an ear. Keep a secret. That's the hardest thing to do in this world. We love to share secrets. If somebody needs to confide something in you, keep it to yourself. Stop bullying. Reconcile a relationship. Take a stand. Pray for someone. For those who are paralytics this morning, in some physical, emotional, or spiritual way, be patient and open and trusting that healing can come for you. Be a better friend. Make a difference for someone. And then we'll be well on our way to advancing the cause of Christianity and sharing the energies of God with those around us. And God bless you and keep you. Thanks for sharing your beautiful energies with us.